Well, good evening. Grab your Bible this evening. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Want to look at this story and make just an application from it to help us this evening. God knew as he put the song service together. Miss Casey even switched songs before the service. Because I was a little bit confused even, because Mommy and them had practiced over at the Codner's house a different song, and then they switched it up to just Cece and Mommy, but that's okay. Acts chapter 28, and God knew, he knew the songs, he knew who would be here, he knew who wouldn't be. He knew who'd be listening online, he knew who would be discouraged tonight, and I'm sure, no doubt, there's folks that may tune in and listen tonight, and I know that God knows their circumstance, and he knows your circumstance. Acts chapter 28 here, we have a very interesting story. Let's read it and we'll make some application to our lives from that. He tells us here in the book of Acts, chapter number 28, starting at verse number 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. We'll get into the back part of the story here in just a few moments, but let's read the text. It says in verse 2, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." So we have a story here. We find the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome. He's going to stand trial before Caesar. He would spend the rest of his life there in Rome, and eventually he would die. He would be fully martyred as a faithful martyr of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had known Paul, the Apostle Paul, once Saul of Tarsus, had seen the life-changing power of what Jesus Christ can do in a life. A man who once would walk into a church, Brother Russell, and he'd stir things up a little bit. You would give me some of your testimony. Man, if they would have had gospel tracts back then, Brother Russell, Paul would have been the one to come in and rip them all up. He would have come to church and just torn them up. And he'd walk in and say, "All right, who here, take a stand for Jesus Christ, take them out, whoop them, beat them, jail them, kill them, anything it took to get rid of them." They were attacking Christians, and Paul had seen what God could do in a life, literally transformed his life. And ever since he'd met Jesus on that road to Damascus, he did whatever it was that the Lord had commanded him. Here he was a prisoner, caught up in a terrible storm. Everyone in that ship was sure to die, but Paul was told by God that they would survive. The ship was destroyed. All the people made it to the island called Melita, located between Sicily and Africa. Today we'd call it the island of Malta. On this island, they met these friendly natives there. And we're going to see here, look at verse 3. It tells us, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said amongst themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." So here we have these 270-odd people. They said, tell us history, 275, 276 people, soldiers and prisoners and folks on this boat, the maintenance workers and all that it took to run it. They all had survived this trial. Paul had decided, man, these people, they were so good to us. They gathered us all in. They built us this fire, and man, it's raining and it's cold. They didn't worry about who we were, and they brought us in and got us together. I'm going to be a help and a blessing. And Paul went over and grabbed some sticks, got a big old bundle of sticks, picked up, and he thought, man, I'm going to help this thing. We'll get this thing going. He threw it in there, and a viper jumped up out of the fire, out of those sticks, and went, "Ooh, this is too hot," and right onto his hand. Big old poisonous snake. I heard Kazai say, "What's a viper?" A poisonous snake. Right up out of there. The story tells us, of course, that Paul shook that snake off, but it wasn't just that God had spared his life from that venom that day, from that poisonous snake. There's some things in this story that you and I can learn about the snakes that come up in my life and come up in your life. There are things that come up, even when we're doing right, that attach to us that could absolutely knock us out. And it needs to be, as believers, we need to be about the business of shaking off the snakes of our life. Young people, listen to me. You young people, you need to learn. We have a society of victims. People that live a victim mentality. They're always a subject to their situation. Well, if I just had a better car, man, if I would have just had a better dad, man, if I would have just a... It's not where God wants any of us. He wants you to be better, not bitter. I know guys get out of jail or get in a little bit of trouble, end up kids get up in juvie and get in a little bit of trouble and get their life, and they become bitter instead of better. They let a bad circumstance change their life for the wrong way. I'm telling you, bad circumstances come up in lives. And we're going to pray in a moment, but I hope that you will take time when we pray to ask God to speak to you. I know how easy it is to sit in the pew and think, man, I hope my wife gets this, because I do hope she gets it. Did I say that part out loud? Oh, man. Brother Dan, you're supposed to help me there. No. I know. It's easy, isn't it? It's easy to say, man, I hope brother so-and-so gets it. Man, I hope my kids are listening. We're going to pray. And what I want you to do is ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God to speak to your mind. We live in a world of people that they're so trapped. They have snakes hanging all over them. And they can't get anywhere for God. They can't do anything for God because they've just not got to a place where they've learned to beat the odds. Lord, we love you. Father, we thank you. I'm thankful for these people. Thankful for your word. Lord, we ask that you'd meet with us tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd be with those that are home, sick and afflicted, those that just chose tonight not to be here for whatever reason. Lord, I pray that you bless them, that you help them. Lord, I pray that your presence is known here tonight. Lord, that whenever bad situations and things come into our lives, the trials and tests, Lord, that we can pass it joyfully, peacefully, and in your power. We love you. And we ask you to do a mighty work here. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The people there, it says they all waited to watch and see what would happen. And we know that God spared his life. But I want to give you three things this evening, very simply, and we'll be done. Three things that we need to learn to shake off that I believe we can learn from this little story in the Bible. Verse number 3 there, it tells us, and when Paul had gathered the bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, that's when the viper came out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. At some point in life, we as believers, as Christians, have to get to a place where we can shake off the snake of crisis. Do you understand? Listen, getting bit by a venomous snake is a crisis. We moved to southwestern PA when I was 6, and I had a cousin. My cousin Rob was much older than me, and man, he grew up around here, and he knew stuff about snakes. And I remember one time he caught a copperhead. And man, my cousin Rob, he caught that thing, and he cut its head off. And I remember watching its head move, and I thought, man, that thing, that's crazy. And my mama being, don't touch that thing, you'll die. That thing bites you and gets a hold of you. The littler are they, more dangerous. I remember, man, how crazy that was, that snake. Getting bit by a venomous snake. Listen, Brother Phil could be pretty tough in a lot of areas. I do not know what my response would have been. I don't know what all Paul's response was. The Bible doesn't record that, maybe for grace sakes. But I think if I'm throwing some wood on the fire and a snake comes out and bites my hand, I don't know what your first response might be. It might be, ah, ah, ah. Running in circles, screaming, yelling. Crisis happen in our lives. Do you understand? When this crisis happened in Paul's life, he wasn't doing anything sinful, was he? In fact, he was perfectly in God's will. He prayed, and God told him that he'd spare the life of everyone on that boat, everyone on that ship, even the soldiers. He was going to spare them all. Paul was perfectly in the center of God's will, and a crisis came into his life. Paul had spoken to God. He was the reason those people were alive. Listen to me, he could have asked for special treatment. Bless God, I'm the preacher. I helped all these people. I'm the one that got a hold of God. I'm going to sit down and enjoy some of the fire for a little bit. Listen, there's nothing wrong with when you get weary and you get tired, there's something to taking a break and not letting yourself get to that place where you become... But There's also something about serving and helping and doing things when you can. Amen. Listen to me. Don't think that just because you're a born-again believer that bad things can't happen in your life. Don't think just because you're serving God doesn't mean that terrible crisis cannot come up in your life, because I'm telling you, it can smack you like a freight train. Man, I got saved and God changed my life. Brother Corby, I struggled with alcohol so bad, man. I struggled with it. Man, God gave me the victory. I got saved, man. Got my family in church and started doing right. Got my head right and my life right. Got a good job. Got saved, got baptized, man. I learned to forgive. I learned to tithe. I learned to go soul winning, man. I learned to do all those things, man. I was ushering you. If you could do it in church, I wanted to do it, man. I'd hold the ladder for Butch, man, because you know we ain't crowned up on no ladder. But I'd hold it for you. And Butch, man, I'd stay after church to count whatever it took. Man, I wanted to do it. I didn't care. I just wanted to serve God. Man, I was able to get a job at the Christian school, and man, we're working at the school, and I was a bus worker, and then I was becoming the bus director and a bus captain of my route, and just doing everything that we could think. Now listen, we're still sinners, but we were doing everything that we could think to do. Everything that our preacher would preach from that word to do, we were trying to do it, man. Trying to do it all. And you've probably heard me tell this testimony, but 3 days before Christmas, our house flooded with sewage. We didn't have a lease or anything like that. You know, kind of ghetto. It was kind of, we were young kids trying to get our life in order, just got saved, and it was like a friend of her mom's co-worker got us a house. It was $300 a month, and that's it, all utilities, everything. It was his mom's house, and she died, and he didn't know what to do with it. We didn't have no lease. So I called him the house. He had a septic tank in the city, was not supposed to have. And so the whole basement, a couple feet of sewage, and we had little kids. He said, you can't have little kids in a home full of sewage like that. He said, you got to get out of there. 3 days before Christmas. Ended up living in the church for a little bit of time. Do you understand? Just because you're doing what is right does not make you immune to bad situations. For some reason, somewhere along the line, we get older and older, or we're young and energetic, and we think somewhere along the line, because I'm a Christian, horrible, terrible things can't happen to me. And it knocks us so far off course, because we have this thought in our head that we're immune to things. How do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt? I mean, how many of God's children throughout the Bible, the story after story we have of tough situations, crisis situations, where folks were in the center of God's will in that situation? Job reminds us in Job 14:1, he said, man that's born of woman is a few days, and he says, and full of troubles. Full of trouble. We don't deserve better, but thank God for His grace and mercy. What do we do when the crisis comes? How do I shake off that snake of crisis? Let me give you that. You need to make sure you put your faith in the promises of God and know that He'll help you. You know, He tells us, He reminds us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. God reminds us there in 2 Corinthians. He says this in chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. My back, sometimes it gets to pinching really, really bad. Even when I'm setting hard church pews and things, I'll wear these suspenders, so just even normal suspenders back there, it touches that tumor on my L1. It just, man, it pinches that side. It gets like a toothache all the time. And it's real easy sometimes to get in our hearts and get in our heads and think, man, woe is me. I'm 43 years old, 44 next month. Woe is me. I got to carry a cane around. It's real easy. But you understand, really all that pain and it pinches sometimes really, really bad. We don't do no twisting and shouting no more, man. When I do VBS, we do deep and wide like this. You know, when we sing, read your Bible, pray every day, and I'll shrink. Brother Phil, don't shrink anymore. 2 years ago, man, that back twisted. I was like this for about a month. You know, we don't do the shrink. I just do I'll do the motions. I let the kids do the shrink. And now, listen to me. God says it's just a light affliction. If you live with chronic pain, and some of you probably know even better than I do, it affects you. It affects you physically. It affects you mentally, living with chronic pain. It affects your sleep, everything you do. I wake up and just that whole side, you can't even lay down. I stand up most of my day. And we have these things that come into our life, and we think that this is it. It's all over. I can't serve God. I can't do anything. This is a crisis. There's nothing else I can do. And God reminds us it's just a light affliction. And just for a short time that we'll battle with this little problem. He says, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us, he says, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know what I realized with some of the setbacks in my life? I wish my testimony was the testimony of some of you young people, where I got saved as a young person, man, just grew up in church. I carry around a lot of scars, a lot of cynicism. You don't trust people when you're a street kid. You just don't. It's just always in your head that people just want to constantly hurt you. And I hate that I'm that way. I hate that I'm negative. And see, God says that just for a little while down here, we're going to have to deal with these little issues, these little problems, these little troubles, these little trials, and the crisis of life come in, and we think this is all it's ever going to be. All it's ever going to be is breast cancer. All it's going to ever be is dementia. All it's going to ever be is the DJD in my hips, the degenerative joint disorder. All it's going to be is the osteoporosis. All it's going to be is the prostate issues. And for now, it seems like such a big deal. And I understand sometimes it physically, it can be. And mentally, it can be. It changes you. It can change your life. It can change how you think, you move, you do everything. But it should not be the end all of everything. As believers, it should not be that we live in a place of sorrow and squalor and just absolute despair when the God of heaven loves us. Put our faith in His promises. Brother Russell, you know, that's trusting in His power. Living in His presence, what He says, Hebrews 13:5, doesn't He? He'll never leave us or forsake us. We have the God of heaven. We have His presence with us. He said in Ephesians 3:20, we mentioned it last night, He's able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think in Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that worketh in us. We need to get to a place where we shake off the snake of crisis. He told us in Matthew 5:45, doesn't He remind us, it rains on the just and the unjust. Why is it as believers we think that life's just going to be smooth? Why is it that we think all our kids are going to turn out perfect and, man, every job I do and everything I do is just going to, man, just be great and smooth and perfect? And we get knocked off course. Young people, it rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. Bad things happen to good families. Bad things happen to people trying to do their dead level best. And it ought not be that a crisis comes in our life and knocks us out of a good church like this and knocks our life in a circle where we give up on God and we give up on the things of God and we give up on service to God and we give up on our faith in God. Hey, shake off the snake of crisis. Paul sure shook that snake off. And verse 4, he had to face something a little bit different here. It tells us in Acts 28 and verse 4, it says, "And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said amongst themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.'" Once Paul got bit, the people began to criticize him. And see, yeah, crisis come into our life and you'll have to shake off the snake of crisis, but oftentimes you'll have to shake off the snake of criticism. See, a bad thing came into Paul's life. He got bit by that snake. He was trying to do right. I mean, he was just out in the sea in a wreck. I mean, it's not like he's a teenager. We don't recover as well. You get 20, 30, 40 years old. You put me out in a shipwreck, I'm not going to feel like picking up sticks for a while. It's not my game. I'm not playing them. I don't even want to play Monopoly if I'm out in a shipwreck. You just let me chill for a little bit. You give me some iced tea and let me relax. And Paul's out there trying to do something good, throws some wood in the fire and a snake bites him. And these people who at one time, just a few moments ago, showed him no little kindness. Listen, those silly soldiers, kids, don't say stupid. Think about those centurions. They wore all that funny Roman armor. You dress up during the Christmas play. Some of you guys have to be the soldiers, or Easter. You have to dress up outside the tomb in that goofy hat, you know, the little feather. You got that little. Imagine them guys out there in the sea. they're bobbing on a little piece of wood, their shiny armor, you know. And they're out there. And here's those islanders, you know, they see all these people thinking, look at these crazy people, man. These crazy Roman people, man. Let's get these white people out. They start dragging them in, you know. And they got and they're bringing them in. They're bringing the Romans in. And they're bringing the slaves in. And they're bringing the workers in. They got them all in. It says they show them no little kindness. They got them in there. They built them a nice big fire. Got them nice and warm. It was raining. It was cold. There was a lot going on. Yet Paul, trying to do something kind. These people were from that island. When you're from an area, you know little home remedies, don't you? You know little things that work. You have little. They're from that island. They live there. They had generations there. You think they've never experienced that snake before? I mean, they built a fire already. If there's one, there's probably a nest somewhere where there's a couple more of them somewhere along the way there. You think they didn't have some kind of remedy? They couldn't have done something to help him? Yet the Bible tells us here in verse number 4, the first thing they did when something bad, they criticized. He's a murderer. You understand, even good people in your life, sometimes a crisis situation comes, a snake comes in your life, and you are going to have people that not only do you get bit by a crisis, you're going to get bit by someone else's criticism. They're going to look at that situation, they're going to say, well, see that? If Brother Ron wasn't such a sinner, I bet he's doing something bad. That's why he's experiencing that. And that's exactly what sometimes people do. They look at us and we get attacked by that snake of criticism. Don't dare let us ever be that snake. We have no idea why people go through certain things in their life. God molds us and he brings things into our lives. And we just have no idea why in a sin-cursed world sometimes certain things happen. But it ought not be that God's people were knocked out so quickly by the snake of criticism. See, they believe that bad things only happen to wicked people, but that's just not true. That just doesn't stand true. Moses was criticized for everything that ever went wrong. They murmured when they were hungry. They murmured when they were thirsty. They murmured when they were tired. Even Jesus was accused of being in league with Satan in Matthew chapter 9. Sometimes we deserve a little bit of the criticism. We do. Sometimes we're wrong and we need to be shown our error. Sometimes we're misunderstood or misrepresented. We're doing our best. But if we aren't careful, we will let criticism, we will let someone else's words knock us out of the things that we want to do. We need to learn to shake it off. Listen, what can we do when criticism comes our way? As a leader, as a parent, as a Christian, we're to continue to faithfully do what we're supposed to do. Keep your responsibilities. Lead those who you lead. That's what Moses and Joshua did. They just kept leading. They just kept going. They just kept plunging forward. Young people, we like to use the term, you know, I stand on business. I stand on 10 toes. Young men, I mean, young men beat their chest. I'm going to be the man one day. I stand on my business. I handle business. I work. I pay my bills. You know what happens? You start to get older, just like you start to look at your daddy and your mommy and look at your teachers and things. You know what happens when you start to get a little bit of responsibility and start to get some authority in your life? Guess what? The criticism starts to come your way because you have to make the decisions. And big boy, when the decisions are yours, everyone else has opinions just like you do, and they're going to start laying them out there. You want to stand on business. You want to be the man. You want to jump off the porch and, man, I'm going to be the leader around here. You better be able to handle some criticism, some that you deserve and a whole lot that you don't. And it shouldn't be that we allow, as parents, we allow our kids to, they should not criticize, but we should not allow their criticism to ever deter us from doing what's right in life and compromise on the things that we know we should be doing. Shake off the snake of criticism. I'm to complete the task that God has given me. It's what Jesus did. He stayed focused. He was criticized by everyone, man. He tried to win souls, sat down with publicans and sinners, and everyone criticized him. See that, man? Look at that. He's hanging out with sinners. He's no good. Man, he's just trying to win people. He's just trying to see people get help and change lives, and they criticize him. And then learn to consider the source of the criticism. Some people, they deserve to be listened to. Some people don't. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 12 that Jesus endured the cross. We need to get our eyes and our ears off the critics. Shake off the snake of criticism. Tell us in verse 5 of Acts 28 there that he shook off the beast and he shook it off into the fire and felt no harm. It says in verse 6 now, Howbeit they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked, it says a great while, and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. He had to shake off the snake of cynicism, of negativity. They looked a great while. They expected the fall of Paul. This is it, man. Like I said, these people were from that island. There was something that someone could have done. Someone could have said, hey, man, I've seen that snake before. My uncle did this. I don't know, maybe it's like the movies, you know, like a virus climbing. Cut that arm, cut that limb off when the poison gets up there, you know. I don't know. Some kind of idea. Someone had to have some kind of idea how they were going to stop and help it. But it says they just sat there and watched a while. They just stood there and watched them. In your life, some people, they're not going to criticize you. But they're sure not going to help you do anything. And they're going to stand there and they're going to watch. They're not going to discourage you. But they're sure not going to encourage you. Amen. Cynicism. Amen. They're just waiting to watch you fall. And we allow that. We allow that to come into our life. We see that in our life, and it happens in our life, not of our own volition. And that snake of cynicism comes in our life, and people watch us, and they expect the worst. Listen, I know what it's like to have people expect the worst nonstop out of me. I grew up my teachers, guidance counselors, Boys Town sponsor, Mennonite church sponsor. I've heard all of them. Put me down, bash me. I'd drink. When I couldn't drink, I'd beat my head off my bedpost at night because I'd get so sick of the negativity that was thrown my way. I hated myself. You know, people are always, people aren't looking for anything good. Statistically, they say that 10 to 20% of accidents in our country are from rubbernecking. I travel nonstop 13 years. Isn't it insane how many times traffic comes to a dead level stop in slinkies because everyone has to look and see what's going on? Listen, if we just kept going the speed limit, they got that all cleared off on the side of the road. Man, let's just go. Let's just keep going, man. Pray for me as you pass. Maybe slow down. Why does everyone have to, man, everyone has to go. Man, maybe I'll get to see some limbs. Listen, that's the world we live in.
Yes.
We want to see the stick stuff. We want to see the nasty stuff. Man, people just like to watch it and wallow in it. And it'll get stuck to you. It'll attach to you. It ought not be us. Why is it that so many are so cynical? Why is it the snake of cynicism knocks out so many believers? How many of us, how many preachers here, you'll never make it? I told you it took 15 years for my first high school buddy to reach out to me for any kind of biblical guidance at all. 15 years because of cynicism. Man, that ain't for real. You know that dude ain't, Phil ain't got the real thing, you know. Something's going on there. He's playing. It won't last long. He'll be back. He'll be back to the clubs. He'll be back to the bar. In fact, my first friend convert, Mark, that was why. He called a couple months later. He said, man, you ain't been in the Moose in a while. I'm just going to take your spot. I said, man, Mark, you followed me to those stupid clubs. Why don't you follow me to church? And sure enough, he did. Amen. He came to church. Had him park at the church, come to my house for lunch in the afternoon. You know what that meant? You got to come back to night church. Amen. Listen, that night my preacher preached on the next one. Mark elbowed me in the church service. He said, I want to be that next one. Can we go talk? Went to the back with the preacher and he got saved. Hey, listen to me. There's people that are going to watch you. And all they're going to do is think that, yes, some of them will criticize you. Some of them will spit out words. But there's a lot of snakes out there that all they're doing is just watching for your downfall. They just want to see you hurt. And it's sick and it's sad, but listen to me. They never get the last words. I guarantee your preacher's heard from people. It's never going to work. You're never going to make it. 24, almost 25 years. There's no way you can make it. There's no way you can stay in a store for. There's no way. Negative and negative and negative. I know preachers all over the country. That's a death sentence place for a preacher. I hear all over places. But I've been told that's a death sentence. This place that preachers die here. This is a graveyard for preachers. This location and that location. You're not educated enough, and you're not slick enough, and you don't have enough money, and you don't have enough funds to do it. And people will rail and rail and rail. And we allow those things and we never do what God really wants us to do in our life because we allow those venomous vipers to hang all over us. And we never get to where, what do we do? What do we do when cynicism comes our way? Hey, listen, don't let anyone else determine the length or the quality of your service to God. Amen. There's not a critic, a cynic, or a crisis in the world that can take you, that can drive you away from the Lord of heaven, unless you allow him to. You know, I had this story, I won't tell it this evening just for time's sakes, but God never put us here just to start something and quit part way. He didn't save Saul of Tarsus and make him go through some, and he had some testing. I mean, right away, you read how Saul, right away, God started out, made him blind, all the different little steps that he had of obedience where he had to submit and do different things. I mean, he got criticized right away, man. They were scared to death of him. He showed up at the first church to preach, man. They were scared. I got saved. When I got the job at the Christian school, we lost two big families because they could not get over the past. They could not get over that someone like me could get saved. That someone like me could really have their life changed and that God could really use me. I had bus workers. I remember being a bus director and sitting there and people Saturday morning, they said, I don't like you. I don't like how you do this. Grown men look at me, man. I was a 26-year-old kid just trying to serve God. And I have grown men, 56-year-old men. That's stupid. Don't do that. This is what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. You need to spend more time doing this. If I would have listened to all that, I wouldn't be standing here right now. We wouldn't be able to fellowship and spend time together. I'd never be used by God. There'd be so many souls that I would have never been able to at least water and have an impact on. What's the snake that you've allowed to attach to you in your life? What's the snake that's slowing you down? That's stopping you from being everything that God wants you to be? Listen to me, as believers, as people that hold on to this book, we ought to be able to shake those snakes off. Listen to me, if God had not stepped in and protected Paul, you're still there. I hope you're still there in Acts 28. Look at it with me. I got so excited today that the Casey was working and the kids were doing something. I said, everyone get real quiet. I got some notes I got to take. And I got off. Before I lost the thought, sometimes I got squirrel brain, man. I got, everyone get quiet real quick. Daddy got to get this down real quick. Do you realize if it was up to those people, Paul, if God had not intervened and Paul died there, verses 7 through 9 is a completely different story. It says then after he was saved by God, protected there, it says in verse 7, the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, or whatever, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. It says in verse 9, and so in this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Listen to me, there's some people depending on you to get healed. Brother Ron, there's some people depending on you to get healed. Brother Russ, there's some people depending on you and your precious family to shake off some snakes. Fedorovs, there's some people that need you to shake off some snakes. There's some people that if you let those snakes, if God doesn't help you, the world's sure not going to. They're going to criticize you. They're going to watch you. They're going to wait and watch you die. And if we don't get busy helping each other, encouraging each other, and shaking off the snakes, Paul's dead. The chief's dad dies. Oh, man, this story's getting bad now. Now the chief's upset. Got all these people. His dad's just dead. You got 270-some people here stuck on your island. There's no way they're making it to Rome without the food and things. At the end of the verse, that's what happens. Because Paul does this, these people provide them the means that they need, the clothes and the food and the supply and the boat to get to Rome. For Paul, listen to me, this is how wonderful it is. For Paul to go to Rome and die and be a martyr.
For Paul to be able to finish God's will perfectly, to be in the perfect will of God, he had to survive these snakes and get, and listen to me, we know it's God's providential law. And we know God sees all and he knows everything, but we don't. And I don't know who it is in your future that's going to need you. I don't know who it is, Brother Russ, that's going to need you down the road. I don't know who it is this week or next month that's going to need you. Brother Jason, I don't know. I don't know who it is that's going to need you. But we better get good at shaking off those snakes. If we allow them to attach to us, when it comes to people getting the help they need, we can't do it. We'll never be in the position we need to be in. The snakes are out there. They're gonna come when you're doing wrong. The snakes are going to show up and jump out when you're doing right. It just happens. It needs to get to a place where you just realize we live in a sin-cursed world with a whole bunch of snakes. And I grew up knowing that, man. We got a whole bunch of rats and snakes, man. We grew up with them. I'm going to say, keep your grass short, man. There's a lot of snakes out there. There are. And they're going to attach to you. And you better get good at shaking them off. God help us. God help us to stop letting that poison infect us as believers and knocking us out of good churches like this. We allow the poison of this world to take us away from this book and take us away from the standards of God and the music of God and the things of God. We allow criticism and crisis and cynicism and all kind of stupid things to knock us out of God's will. Let it not be your testimony. It ought to be that every one of you young people, you grow up, you finish this thing well, and you said, yeah, all kind of crazy stuff, man, it's coming to my life. I'll just shake it on off. Man, we've been bit, we've been backstabbed, we've been flooded, we've been drowned, we've been just about anything. Man, we just shake it. God just keeps us going, man. And God just keeps us heading forward and keeps us going. Yeah, we got some scars. Get the glory. Maybe Paul had, maybe God let him keep them on there, them little snake marks on there. Probably not, but he'll get that new glorified body, but I don't know. Paul kept them snake marks till he died. I'm sure the prisoners thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was kind of cool, man. Let me see them venom marks, man. Let me see what that stuff did to you. Man, because you know it probably messed with some of the skin, necrosis and different things. I'd have been trying to check it out. It ought to be that we got a whole bunch of soldiers that know how to shake off some snakes in life. That aren't knocked off course and scared to death and run away in fear every time some little thing jumps up and bites us. It rains on the just and the unjust. Listen to me. Friends may turn their back and betray us. Family may betray us. But God is so good. There's no excuse for us to not shake off those snakes.